hear before. Matter of fact, this type of message you won't hear terribly often in churches these days, because it's kind of topical. It's also something that is kind of difficult. And the topic is about the occult. Now, we don't hear an awful lot about that. Some years ago, one of my favorite Christian contemporary musicians was a guy named Carmen. Is there anybody here who remembers Carmen? Carmen Licardello, yes. And he did a song some years ago called A Witch's Invitation, and that's where I got the title of this from the Carmen song. Carmen was one of my favorites, and he dealt with topics in his songs like few people did. You know, he told stories and put humor in them. But if you were to put a definition to the word occult, how would you define that? Well, truthfully speaking, the word occult means hidden. Okay? So when we're talking about the occult, we're talking about anything dealing with hidden or supernatural influences or phenomena. This deals with witchcraft, it deals with astrology, it deals with all kinds of spiritism. Notice I didn't say spiritualism. If you believe in the Holy Spirit, you are also a spiritualist of sorts. Okay, though not in the vein of the thing that we're going to be talking about this morning. We're talking about things like fortune telling, Satanism, belief in the paranormal and extrasensory perception and things like that. And this is a message that I wrote several weeks ago, but I've been kind of putting it off because this is a topic that can get a pastor in a lot of trouble. But because of conversations I have had at the men's retreat and in other places, I realize that this really is something that we need to talk about. The message that was originally intended for today will be preached a few weeks from now, so just stay tuned for that one. Over the past few years in ministry, I have put many hours into researching the subject of the occult. It's something that I have some personal interest in because my mom, as I was growing up, was involved in Wicca, and she herself was into witchcraft. And it's something I have a lot of sensitivity toward. And the thing is, oftentimes we, even Christians, can dabble in these things and think nothing of it because we think of them as amusement. You know, what's the harm in just doing a little bit of this, or what's the harm in doing just a little bit of that? And so this morning I would like to break down the various elements of modern occultism and compare them with some pertinent scriptures and see what the Bible says about these kinds of things. Okay? Are you okay with that? Okay, so I'm going to start off right now by getting myself into trouble immediately and ask the question, how many of you have ever, even so much as dabbled in any of the things that we talked about just a second ago? Fortune telling, Ouija boards, horoscopes, palm readers, all that kind of stuff. Have you done that? Anybody here? Okay. So at the end of the message, you may feel free to step on my toes or kick me in the shins, whichever you feel most necessary. But open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 47. Isaiah 47, verses 13 and 14. Everybody got Isaiah 47, 13 and 14? Got it? Okay, we read. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. Those are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. Here is God talking about something that is pretty popular today. Okay, what is it? Astrology. All right? Now, some of you right now are thinking, you know, this guy is going to way overstate this. Because what could really be the harm in just reading a horoscope now and then? You know, what could possibly be the harm in that? It's harmless, right? Well, so we think. God does not think so. And our view of this should be as God's is. Many naive Christians like to read their horoscopes. Almost every newspaper in the entire country publishes a horoscope. The big one back when I was growing up was a woman by the name of Jean Dixon. Jean Dixon wrote a book called My Life and the Prophets, and in this book she discussed the fact that her prophecies were only correct about 86% of the time. And when she received her prophecies, she would lay in bed and she would go into a trance-like state, and a snake would come and curl itself around her bedpost and look her in the eye and tell her the things that she was supposed to write about. Now, I don't know about you, but long ago when I started reading the Bible, I learned the danger of talking snakes. You know what I'm talking about? Well, here she's believing one, and if we believe what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, where it says, "How shall we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet speaks in the name of God and it does not come to pass, have no fear of him." And so here's Jean Dixon saying that 14% of her prophecies never came true. What does that make her? False prophet, of course. Some people consult their horoscopes for help, even in their investment strategies and in their business decisions. I've known people to do that. I used to ride the train into Philadelphia every day, and as I was heading into Philadelphia, I would often hear people talking about how they had made their plans for the day, but they'd changed their mind when they'd read their horoscopes. My horoscope said I shouldn't do this today, so I'm not going to do this. Many people would say that they read their horoscopes just for entertainment. How many of you read your horoscopes just for the entertainment and amusement purposes? I mean, just for fun, right? It's just for fun. Really, it is. Just for fun. But it isn't. God views astrology as an empty thing, as an evil thing, something that we should not be trusting in. Matter of fact, he says here in Isaiah, hey, you know, we've got all these problems. Well, you want the answers? Go talk to your astrologers. See how much they help you. See how much the astrologers can help you with this. Astrologers, people like Jean Dixon, people like Joyce Jolson. There was a guy who was very popular on the radio back in the 80s named Adzi Nixie. I have no idea how to spell his name. Okay? Some of you maybe watched a TV show that a man named Jonathan Edwards used to have. And it was a show where he would try to put you in touch with people that had died, you know, before you. There are more famous ones today, people like Joyce Brown. How many of you have ever heard of Joyce Brown? Okay. Where does she live? She's right around here somewhere. Like over in Jersey, someplace, I think. What about those times, folks, that you have read your horoscopes and they just seem so accurate? Oh, my word. I read my horoscope and it was like spot on. My goodness, I couldn't have written that better myself for myself. It was so accurate. Remember, folks, the one who controls the mechanics of occultic practice such as fortune telling, okay, Ouija boarding, horoscope, all these things, the mechanic behind the skill is Satan. It is not of God. You go through and read it in your Bible, you'll see it time and time and time again. God wants nothing to do with people who practice these arts. Do not. Even if it seems like an amusement, do not. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have a crystal ball in your house or a Ouija board or something on that nature, but I am hoping that as soon as you arrive home after the time this morning, that you will destroy them immediately, because these things are not a Can I make it any more clear than that? Astrology is a satanic art. It has been, it always will be. Am I making myself clear? So if I say, I've been coming to visit you at your home, what are you going to do with that Ouija board? You better get it gone before I get there. Turn over, please, if you would, to Acts chapter 13. And we're going to pick up at verse 16. Everybody got it? Okay. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of the country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance." How did God lead the people during that time? Now, through crystal balls. He put a crystal ball at the head of every tribe. No, not that at all. How did he do it? Very simply, you want to know what my will is? Look out the door of your tent. If it's dark out, look for a pillar of fire. And wherever that pillar of fire goes, you go. If it's daylight, look out the door of your tent. And you're going to see a pillar of smoke. If that pillar of smoke moves, what should you do? You follow it. Very simple. You follow the pillar of smoke by day, you follow the pillar of fire by night, and you know which way to go. Pretty simple? Okay, so, when you want to know the way to go, how do you do it? How many of you would say, it's easy for me. I open up my front door, and I look out, and there's a pillar of smoke during the day, and there's a pillar of fire by night, and if that thing moves, I move. Is that about right? Kevin, when you pick your new house, was it a pillar of smoke or a pillar of fire? It depends on what time of day it was. Okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have answered the question. Fortune telling, folks, is a way that people use today to get direction for things. Back some years ago, the fortune telling industry became a billion-dollar industry. How many of you remember a TV show or a TV thing called the Psychic Friends Network? You could call and, you know, one of these dumb 900 numbers, and for X number of dollars a minute, you could get somebody on the other end of the line who would tell you where you should go, what you should do, and thank you, Miss Cleo. Any of you remember Miss Cleo? Okay, Miss Cleo. The Psychic Friends and Miss Cleo raked in their third year of business, if I remember correctly, $6 billion. Why? Because people want to know. They want to know where to go. They want to know what to do. And when they don't know God, they go to Miss Bianca up here, the palm reader, okay, or they'll go other places to have their fortunes told. And the question I have is, why do we need to consult people like that? Does it to you sound a little bit ridiculous? So ridiculous that we would never spend $6 billion doing that. Correct? But we do. You might be saying, well, we ain't me. Well, praise the Lord for that. I hope it never is. God's Word, folks, is the way that He directs us. We want to know which way to go? God's Word has the answer. By consulting fortune tellers and horoscope writers, what are we showing him? We're showing him that faith in him and trusting in him for direction is not enough. We're showing him that we need something that we can see with our eyes in order to show us where to go. Jesus was talking to Thomas one day. Remember Thomas? Blessed are you who believe because you see. But more blessed will be those who believe without seeing. I don't know about you, but Jesus has not made any personal appearances to me lately. But I want you to know that the Scriptures will give you principles that intersect with every type of decision that you and I need to make. No, it may not tell you whether you should have a peanut butter sandwich or a tuna sandwich for lunch. But when you have decisions that you must make in your life, there are principles in your Bible to give you guidance. How many of you need me to do that sermon again? And in those times when you don't have those kinds of principles that are really, really clear, what should you do? You should seek the counsel of Christians that you trust. Okay? And then you should also ask God for direction and ask Him to open the doors for you to go through and slam the ones that you should not. Does that make sense to you? Or, I suppose, we could do as the Jews did back in Isaiah 47 and go to the astrologers to tell us which way to go. The Scriptures tell about a girl who predicted the future, and she intersected with Paul and his people one day. Okay? Paul cast the demon out of her that gave her the ability to do that. And the people that used this woman to make money were upset because Paul had just done away with what? Their cash cow. They weren't able to make the money now that they thought that they were hoping to. Problem is that the woman was possessed. They should have been glad that the demon had been cast out. And though many would like to deny demonic possession and relegate it to Hollywood, I will tell you right now that there are cases where people are demonized. No, I'm not going to use the term demon possessed. That is a very, very strong term. And if somebody is possessed by demons, they're as far away from God as they can possibly become. But there are people who are afflicted by them, and I will call them demonized. And I want you to know something, that when one dabbles in Ouija boards, fortune telling, scrying, how many of you know what scrying is? That's the act of telling the future by crystal ball or other services like reading tea leaves, things like that. You are opening the door to occultic influence. You're opening the door to it. I've had people that have come to me and said that they have visions in the night, things that wake them up and they see things. And I can tell you that the vast majority of them have dabbled in this kind of thing, and it's a dangerous thing. Please, if you have any of these devices, when you get home, throw them out. You might say, oh, but wait a minute, I saw it in a movie, and in this movie it didn't matter because, you know, the devil was there and it didn't matter. No, you can cast them out. You renounce it, you cast them out, they're gone. And that's what we need to do. According to a poll from years ago by the George Barna Group, the following trends are apparent. And I want you to listen. 58% of adults say that Satan does not exist. 58% of adults say that Satan does not exist. He's only a symbol of evil. These people also believe that God does not exist. He's only a symbol of all that's good, and Satan is only a symbol of all that's evil, but the two don't necessarily exist. What do you think the percentage is of Christians, people who claim to be Christians? What percentage of them would deny Satan exists, would you guess? How many of you would say, I would say about 20%. Would say Satan doesn't exist. Would you guess about 20? How many would say higher or lower? Of course, you're going to say higher because you know me by now. The percentage is actually 45% of all evangelicals believe that Satan isn't really a being. That scares me. 68% of Catholics say that Satan does not really exist. I had to do a double take. It's in my handwriting, and, you know, I write in tongues. 31% of adults believe in a literal hell. 31% of adults believe in a literal, meaning not figurative, hell. And if 31% of adults believe that there is not any such truth, that they believe that there is such thing as hell, how many of you math geniuses can tell me what percentage of them don't believe in hell? You do, you know, mental math, 31 from 100, 69. 69% of adults don't believe in hell. That concerns me. What does that mean? It means a lot of people are thinking that if they just close their eyes, it'll go away. I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist, and if I can pretend it doesn't exist, then it just, well, doesn't exist. It's like the ostrich who puts his head in the sand. Now, some of you are saying, ostriches, I just read this on the internet the other day. Ostriches don't really put their heads in the sand. Ha ha. False analogy. Wrong. They do. They actually do. What they do is they bury their eggs over here, they cover them up, and when danger comes, the ostrich comes and does what? Puts its head in the sand to check on the eggs. That's not to ignore the evil, it's to check on the eggs. So they do. If you have dabbled in fortune-telling or horoscopes, please repent of it and stop now. It's far too dangerous. Stay away from horoscopes, fortune-tellers. It's all a form of a very real satanic enterprise. It should be avoided at all costs. I would love to tell you that the age that we are living in is becoming more enlightened, and we're becoming more attuned to God and His spiritual world. But something happened last winter that really disturbed me. Went toy shopping, which itself is a disturbing thing. But went through Walmart, and there I'm one of the end caps, folks. You know what an end cap is? You know those big long aisles, and they've got these big displays on the end? You put the stuff you want to move the fastest on the end caps. Trust me, I was in retail management, I know. And what do you think it was full of? Harry Potter. Now some of you are saying, yeah, so? What could be wrong with Harry Potter? Harry Potter is just a cute little kid with a lightning bolt scar in his head, thanks to Voldemort. On this display, we saw Harry Potter, we saw Ouija boards, and we saw crystal balls. Okay? Yes, they're all together. Right there for your shopping convenience. You can get them all one-stop shopping. You know, let's get rid of all of our kids. We'll just have them all getting Satanism. Let's do it. You might think that I'm overstating this here, but young minds are a portal to all kinds of stuff, and they pick up on all kinds of stuff that we don't think they're picking up on. I made a comment in a sermon, I don't know how long ago, about brushing my teeth and how I make sure I get 10 strokes on every tooth. And there's a young person here, I'm not going to embarrass them by saying who it was, that made sure that when they went to bed that night, they made sure they hit every tooth 10 times and made a point of it. They pick up on stuff, folks. And they pick up on this stuff especially. Young minds are very impressionable. And don't think that the devil doesn't understand this. The Catholics used to have a saying that is, give us your children till they're 7 years old and we will keep them for life. Why do you think Satan's after our kids with things like Harry Potter? And you're going to say, Harry Potter isn't bad. Stay tuned, folks. What about witchcraft? Point number three. What about witchcraft? The influence of witchcraft is everywhere. It's on television. Okay? How many of you have one of those in your house? Is there anybody here who does not own a television? Okay? Even Disney puts witchcraft in their children's stories. Snow White has a witch in it. Okay? Snow White? Beauty and the Beast? Doesn't they have a witch in it somewhere? Sleeping Beauty. They all have witchcraft in them. And don't forget what I just said. The idea is to recruit young minds. Okay? Now you might say, yeah, but I love Sleeping Beauty, you know, and I love Snow White, and I'm not a young mind. Well, the ones you're watching it with may have that. May be one. They may have a young mind. One of the more widely known forms of witchcraft today is the school of Wicca, and that's something that I'm especially sensitive to because I was brought up with it to an extent. The school of Wicca has recently been granted, did you know, tax-exempt status by the government. That's correct. They are now a 501c3. Even the U.S. military has to allow black masses now on military bases because of a form of freedom of religious expression. Some years ago, when I was working in Philadelphia, the Harry Potter thing became huge, and all the adults practically on my train were reading Harry Potter books. And I asked one person, I said, what is that? Oh, it's Harry Potter. And I said, oh, really? Yeah. And the lady said, but you know, this is a make-believe story, and it's a kid's story, but us adults love this stuff because the storylines are so cool. And I asked what it was all about. And she told me it was about a young boy being brought up into, you know, witchcraft. And I said, I don't know if I like that idea. And she said, oh, you must be one of those born-again Christians who poo-poo everything. You don't want anything fun. Well, that kind of piqued my interest, and some weeks later, I heard a radio broadcast. In this radio broadcast, J.K. Rowling was being interviewed. And people were able to call on the phone and talk to J.K. Rowling herself by phone to this radio station. Are you understanding exactly what's going on here? Okay. And here's what happened. And this is, cross my heart, hope to die, you know, God's honest truth. Yes. These individuals were calling to talk to J.K. Rowling, who is the author of the Harry Potter books. Okay? And this man called, and he said, I just want you to know that I have read your books. I myself am a warlock. Not me, the person that called said this. I am a male witch. And he expressed his love for the Potter books and the movies because they contain so much of what he called to be occultic truth. That shook me. I'm thinking, my goodness, these idiots on the train are reading this stuff, and they're probably given to their kids to read. He also gushed about the wonderfully positive portrayal that J.K. Rowling gives to people that practice these arts. Okay? The man spoke of how uncomfortable his daughter had been with his occultic practices. That's right, this man who was a warlock had a daughter who was uncomfortable with his practices. Okay? But after reading the Harry Potter books, she had changed her mind and was now comfortable with those things and saw them as something that she could possibly appreciate and use in her own search for enlightenment. Does that bother you? Some of you guys have read the Harry Potter books. I'm not coming down on you. Okay? Matter of fact, if you have read them and you're mad at me, like I said, on the way out, stomp on my toe, kick me in the shin. But not if you have steel-toed shoes on. The ways of the adversary are often very, very subtle. He makes his way into people's minds with little harmless compromises. Things like, oh, what harm can a Ouija board be? It's just a game. Or what harm can a Harry Potter book be? I don't take any of it seriously. Well, maybe you don't, but there are people that do. And maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, Pastor Jay, you've gone way overboard. What could possibly be wrong with a little bit of witchcraft and Snow White and the Wizard of Oz? I'm telling you, folks, I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to apologize and say, you know, you're right, I'm sorry that I offended you with it. Because it's truly dangerous. Truly dangerous. God's Word tells us to stay away from occultic practice in all of its forms. All of it. Even though they seem harmless. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you must pick up your cross and follow me. I'm not making that up. Should we ever allow any leaven of the occult to get into that following of Jesus? Some of you right now are thinking, what's the big deal? I think that it's okay if you have Christian witchcraft. And witchcraft that does good stuff, good healing stuff, like Reiki and reflexology and stuff like that. That's all occultic practice. And if it's occultic practice, it's what? Bad. We must stay away from it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth because your word is truth. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the wisdom to test the spirits, to decide what is truth and what is error. Lord, we pray that if there is one here, even one, that is dabbling in this practice, any of these practices, Lord, that you would free them. Lord, that you would help them to understand that there is freedom if we believe in the truth. And Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Your word also tells us that if we know the truth, and that is Christ, that he will set us free. So now, Lord, we claim for that one or that two or that three or half dozen that are dabbling in this or have dabbled in it, that you would grant them freedom in Jesus. And Lord, that they would learn to trust you completely for all things. Nothing else. No fortune telling. None of that, Lord, because we know you're not the author of those things. So God, we ask for your help and we ask that you would free all of those that struggle with us. And we'll give you all the praise for what you do in Jesus' name.